Look with me. I want you to see something, a verse that has intrigued me for quite some time. And I've always kind of been a little bit intrigued by this verse. Romans 8, 37 through 39. We have three verses tonight now. Three verses basically is all we're going to be looking at, so it shouldn't be long. Three verses. Romans 8, 37 through 39, where Paul writes these words. He says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I've always been intrigued by that term, more than conquerors. And I want to just take a look tonight a little bit at that. First, I want to share with you a story about a gentleman by the name of John Chrysostom. John Chrysostom was an early church father. He was an early church leader. He was born of wealthy parents, and when his mother was 28, she was widowed. And rather than remarry, she spent her entire life trying to educate her son. And she did a very, very good job. He was extremely educated. Now, early on, John, he was just simply called John. There was no Chrysostom. That Chrysostom, actually, the word means, it actually means the golden mouth. And he was so eloquent in his speech that that's what they attached to his name. You know, in the early church, people were only known by one name a lot of times, and they were known by where they came from. But John was given that name. And after he began to lead a church and pastor a church, he lived almost the last part of his life in relative obscurity. He had many wealthy parishioners that were in the gathering where he taught and where he preached, but he lived in a cave in near Antioch, the city of Antioch. He lived in that cave. And he had such a strong faith that many came to hear him, and many supported the last name that he was given, because he did have such an eloquence about him. But he ended his life in a very fearless way. When the Roman emperor heard of his fame and heard of what he was doing, he found out he was no match for John Chrysostom. When John Chrysostom was brought before the Roman emperor, the emperor threatened him with banishment if he remained a Christian. And I'm just going to read in the text that I got the story from. Chrysostom replied, thou canst not banish me, for this world is my father's house. And then the emperor said, well, I'll slay thee then. And John said, nay, but thou canst not, for my life is hid with Christ in God. And the emperor said, well, I'll take away thy treasures. And then John said, nay, but thou canst not, for my treasure is in heaven, and my heart is there. Then I'll drive thee away from man, and thou shalt have no friend left. And John replied, nay, thou canst not, for I have a friend in heaven from whom thou canst not separate me. I defy thee, for there is nothing that thou canst do to hurt me. Now, when you and I read of faith like that, we can identify with the term conqueror. We can even identify with the term more than conqueror. Because John Chrysostom would probably qualify, he was more than a conqueror. Now let's look, I want you to look at what I've got in the outline there, the pronouncement. When Paul writes the words and he says, we are more than conquerors, what does he mean? What does that actually break down to see? And when you look in the Greek, you can break it down. It's actually going to mean something very strange to you, I believe. He said, more than conquerors is actually a translation. In the Greek translation, it is hypernikomen. Hypernikomen. The middle part of the word is nikeo, which means to overcome. Now, the word Nike, N-I-K-E, that's right, was a name given to the goddess of victory in ancient Greece. And that's where, you know, if you're a sports fan or you like sports apparel and all that, and you know about Nike, and you know you know now where they got the name and where it came from. Now, when you put the two words together, hyper and nikeo, it means over and above victory. Believers are then to be not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. They're supposed to be over and above conquerors. And it's not only in the future tense when we get to heaven, but it's in the present tense. It's now. It's our walk with God now. We are to be more than conquerors. So we're not just merely conquerors, we're more than conquerors. So that the things that he says, death, life, angels, principalities, things present, things to come, heights, depths, every created thing that has anything to do with us works in our favor, for in all of them, and in the manner in which they affect us, there is revealed to us the love of God which is in Christ. A love from which no one and nothing will ever be able to separate us. Amen, amen, and amen. If y'all not going to do it, I'm going to, okay? What a brilliant, what a wonderful truth that is for us to appreciate. If we accept the love in Christ, that nothing is ever going to separate us from it. Now, Martin Lloyd Jones, a great writer, Christian writer, gives this description. He said, we are not simply enabled by his love to hold on and not fall away and falter. Neither is it the case that we just managed to obtain victory. This is not a 22-21 victory. I'm sorry, I even said that. We are more than conquerors. That's a very, very strong expression. More than conquerors. We didn't just barely win. A Christian is not a man who manages somehow or another just to obtain an entrance into heaven. If he's more than a conqueror, he not merely stands up to trials, he demolishes them. He's enabled to overcome them completely. So it's not merely conquer. It's more than conquer. And so let us not forget that death is included in this. He says he includes death. Everything that can possibly come against us is included. And I'm gonna go through that in just a few minutes. Now, Psalm 44:22, in the verse directly previous to the one I started reading in your notes, says this. It says, we face death all day long, and are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Are we more than conquering sheep? That's exactly what we are. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but we're more than conquerors. Now that's almost a contradiction in terms, because when we think of sheep, that's the last thing we think of as a conqueror, isn't it? I mean, you don't see a pro football team named the Seattle Sheep. You're not going to find that. Because when we think of conquering symbols or animals, we think of lions and tigers and bears and things like that. Yeah. Well, I hadn't put them with it, but they could be, I guess. So we're, I guess, considered sheep that conquer. We are at times weak And we're at times despised. We act a lot of times like a helpless flock of sheep. But in fact, we're conquerors. Because we have the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that has made us conquerors through him. That has made us conquerors through him. Now, I want you to look. I want you to do this to compare here just a second, just to see one thing. I'm going to read Romans 8:28, which every one of you knows probably to memory. And it says this. It says, we know that all things work together for the good. Now, watch this. To those who love God. To those who love God. Now, 8:37 said this. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, that stands to reason. If he loved us first, that's the only way we could love him. You realize it's not the love that we have for him that makes us anything. It's the love he has for us because he loved us first. He even established a way in our hearts for us to love him. We didn't just do it on our own. He put a way in our hearts for us to love him. So we say we love him. He first loved us. And we can see that by the fact that him loving us is what made us our relationship to him, not just on the frailties of how we feel or on how we express our love, because God knows we don't always do it the way it's supposed to be done, do we? But his love for us has made us more than conquerors. His presence by the Holy Spirit in our life has raised us to that point. So that's why Paul says that we're more than conquerors. And I believe he's right. Now, the second part is the persuasion. And this is what I want you to see. And I want to look at all those things. Paul said, I am persuaded. This verse is in perfect tense in the Greek language, and it could be translated, I have become and I remain convinced. Now, to know a Bible truth, you only have to read it if you want to know it. But now to be persuaded of it, the Lord Jesus involves the fact first that you know the truth, but it also touches your own personal experience. If you're persuaded of it, oh yeah, I know about that because I went through that. I can identify with that. I don't just hear about it. I don't just know of it. I went through that. So I am persuaded that is what it is. So that's what Paul is saying here. I'm persuaded here. His persuasion is not only the result of his knowledge and God's truth, but it's the product of his own experience. And if anybody could have ever been persuaded of this, it was Paul and what he had to endure and what he went through. So he experienced most of the things that he's writing about. Now he's come through them. He can say with confidence that none of them can separate him from God's love because they haven't. He's been through it and he knows they haven't separated me. My love for God is the same and God's love for me, even more importantly, is the same. And nothing changes it. Nothing stopped it. Now, I want to go through, there are 10 things that was listed in verse 38 there. I'm going to go through them pretty quickly now. So don't cave on me here. It says, all the things that could have possibly have separated us from the love of God and kept us from being more than conquerors. The first one he says is not the crisis of death nor the calamities of life. Now, Paul was not frightened of death. He knew that Christ had eliminated death's power for those who were in Christ. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where's your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians, that's 15:26. Now, not only was death incapable of separating the apostles from Christ, but life also stood powerless to do it. Now, sometimes, I know this sounds a little bit strange to say, but sometimes we fear what's in life worse than we do death. Am I right? Because in life, see, we get we have a greater regard than death, because sometimes there's a lot more difficulty that we got to face. Burdens, bitterness, disappointments, uncertainties, physical miseries. All of these things in our life are uncertain, and we may have to face them. So, you know, one of the things one Christian said, what made life so hard is it comes every day. It's daily. It just keeps coming. You don't get an interval from it. Your Christian life keeps coming daily, day after day after day. Paul said this. He said, you know, I die daily. And he also said this. He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So he said, either life nor death, they have no effect whatsoever on the love that Christ has for you and the love you have for him. He cannot be separated from it. Now, the next one, he says, is not the intervention of angels nor the intrusion of demons. Now, many writers believe right here that the mention of angels is referring to evil angels, and I kind of believe that's what it means too, because good angels, so to speak, they wouldn't ever want to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So he must be speaking of evil angels. But it doesn't matter whether they're good or bad. Neither one of them has the power to separate you, because angels are powerless to do anything to remove us from the love of God. They can't do it. They are created. Christ reigns over the angels of heaven and all principalities and powers, and all powerless to harm those whom he loves. Now, God put him in charge of it all. And we're going to see that in this next one. The third one, not the cares of today nor the concerns of tomorrow. Now, we got a horizontal line that's kind of drawn here in a timeline. The cares of today are the worries about tomorrow, the concerns of tomorrow. Paul says that there is a continuum between the present and the future. He says there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God along that timeline. Whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, some people dwell more in their past than they do in the present and the future. They worry about what happened in the past, and they let it destroy part of their future. But Paul said there's nothing in the time continuum that can take us away from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He said there's nothing there. Verse 8:33 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Verse 34. We've already seen these things. And nothing in the future can sneak up on us either, because the Bible says that Christ Jesus has complete authority over the future. You know, it says in Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That's all of it. And he's got it all. And he's got it over the future, because he's already there. So he's not worried, and you shouldn't be worried about the love of God leaving you in the future. That's why we are more than conquerors there. Now, the fourth thing is not the afflictions from the heavens nor the advances from hell. Now we got a vertical line drawn. We got a vertical continuum. He says this. Height and depth calls to mind David's words in Psalm 139:8, when it says, if I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. In other words, God's at the top and he's at the bottom of the universe and everywhere in between. There's nothing in the vertical realm that can separate us from God's love. Nothing. You know, the more I'm reading of this, I'm beginning to feel like more than a conqueror. Sometimes we don't feel it. You know, and the church really has trouble Church really has trouble expressing that sometimes. You know, you go ask somebody how they're doing sometimes, and you know, you may get this. Well, I'm doing okay, I guess, under the circumstances. Under the circumstances. We're supposed to be over the circumstances, not under. But you know, I know that's a figure of speech, and I probably answered that way a time or two. But we need to think about that, because we represent the love of God in Christ Jesus. Next thing, powers. He says this, the single thing, powers. The word here is dynamis in the Greek language, and it's in a plural form. The word often refers to miracles or mighty deeds that are done. So it also was used figuratively of persons in positions of authority and power. So he's saying power cannot separate us from the love of God. Nobody in power can separate. If John Christensen stood before the Roman emperor and said, you can't do that to me, you can't do that to me, and you can't do that to me, because I've got one in heaven who's got a great love for me, and you can't do anything to separate me from that love. So that means power, anyone in a powerful position or power within itself. Now, if we were not super conquerors, if we were not more than conquerors, then maybe that would be a problem. But as it is, it's not. Last thing, he says, any other created thing. Now, since God himself is the only uncreated thing, everyone else and everything else is excluded from that. Everything else is created. God and Jesus Christ were not created. So I think he makes, at the end, what I think Paul does is, okay, I've listed all these things that can be thought of that I have experienced, and if there's anything else, so he ends it with a comprehensive statement that said, you know, if there's any other created thing, any other created thing can separate us from the love of God or can prevent us from being more than conquerors. And since everything is under the control of the Creator, then there is nothing that can separate us. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, because everything is created. There is no other created thing that can do so. Nothing in our world today seems to be stable anymore, does it? It appears sometimes that insecurity is written all across the human experience. Indecision, insecurity, people living in fear, people wondering how what's going to happen next, terrified of what we see and that kind of thing. And God is calling us to live as more than conquerors. He's calling us to live a higher life than that. He's calling us to live like John Chrysostom. I don't fear any man. I don't fear anything that can happen here. You can kill me if you want to. It's like Paul said, hey, that don't sound too bad. I'd be with Christ all the time. That don't sound too bad with me. You can do this to me. You can do that to me. And it's not going to separate me. And if you had all the things done to you that Paul had done to him, and you're not separated from the love of God, then boy, I tell you what. I think we all got a good chance. I think we all stand in good standing. Because Paul went through the gamut of it all. He really did. Now, the conclusion I put, and I apologize because I've left a couple of things off of there in your notes for you. But there's four quick things in conclusion I want to share with you, and then I'll be done, okay? Our enemies are not human, but they're spiritual. Now, Ephesians 6:12 says this, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Our battle is not human, but spiritual. If our enemies were human, our victories would not be really anything special, would it? But because our enemy is who he is, it's a spiritual enemy, our victories are outshine any human victory that we can have. Now, I don't mean to say that Satan is the opposite of God. That's not true. God created him. God's got control over him. But he is powerful, and he is very influential, and he will do anything. You defeat Satan, and anything you do through the power of God in your life, and that's a victory. You know what I'm talking about? That's a big victory. You deal with another human being, and that, and you defeat him in that. That's, you know, most anybody, that's a lot of people can do that. But it's a spiritual battle that we're facing. To face Satan and to win a battle against him, we see that we must be more than conquerors. We can't just be like anybody else. We can't just be getting by. And we're not going to defeat Satan in every battle. But when we defeat him, it's through the love of God that's in us that does it. So we need to understand that our enemies are not human, they're spiritual. Second thing, and I put this in your notes, our struggle is not momentary, but constant. Donald Gray Barnhouse, one of the real good Christian writers, said this. He said, in earthly battles, soldiers are sometimes called upon to fight day and night. But there comes a moment when flesh and blood cannot take more, and the struggle comes to an end, though the utter exhaustion of the soldier. Soldier fights, and in a momentary battle, he fights and fights and fights until he can't fight anymore. So he's got to quit. It comes to an end. But in the spiritual warfare, there is no armistice. There's no truce. There's no interval. The text is in the present tense in the Greek. For it says, for thy sake, we're being killed all day long. From the moment we are made partakers of the divine nature, we are the targets of the world, the flesh and the devil. There is never a moment's reprieve. It follows then that our conquest is more than a conquest, and thus we're more than conquerors, because the battle is not just momentary. The battle is constant. It's all the time. It never stops. No, Satan never takes a breather. He never takes time off. Romans 5:3-5 says this. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And the next one is this: our victories are not earthly, but they're eternal. Now, every victory that we can win in the natural or human realm will one day seem unimportant to us. Most human victories are buried in the grave with the victors. But the battles that we have eternal and have eternal ramifications for our 2 Corinthians says this in chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There are battles that we win in the spiritual that are not earthly. They're eternal. They'll last forever. And thus, our rewards, last one, our rewards are not perishable. They're permanent. They're permanent rewards. No matter what happens to us in the race that we run here on earth, we may grow weary, and we may be injured, we may fall down. Nothing will ever keep us from the prize of an imperishable crown. 1 Corinthians 9:24-25 says this. It says, Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. You know, when we get to heaven, that we're going to be given crowns for what we did here on earth in the name of Jesus. There'll be crowns there. You say, well, you know, I'm not in it for the crown. You should be. Because he says that's imperishable. They'll be yours forever. They don't go away. They don't do any of that. Okay? We are more than conquerors. And my question to you, are we living like it? Are we living our lives like we're more than conquerors? Because we certainly should be. That's how the world's supposed to identify us. That's why Paul, I think, wrote those words beautifully when he wrote that. He's persuaded that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Only by the love of God in Christ Jesus can we ever be considered to be that thing, that more than conquerors. Join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the time that we've had together tonight, Lord, for this study of the word. Thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for what every word of Scripture says to us. Lord, for there's so much truth there, but there's also realism preached to us, Lord, how to live our lives now. How, Lord, not to just claim that we're Christian and try to do the best we can, but, Lord, to be more than conquerors. That whatever comes against us, Lord, that we can remember that we are more than conquerors. We're overcomers. Lord, we're meant to be overcomers because of the love that you have for us in Christ Jesus. And the main reason, Lord, is because nothing can take it away from us. There's not anything that can take it away from us. So, Father, help us to revel in that fact. Help us to glory in that knowledge. Father, I want to just take a moment to pray for every person that's in this room tonight. I pray for everyone. Lord, their needs that are here tonight. Their special needs, Lord, that only you know about. And Lord, I just want to lift them up and pray for them right now. Especially those, Lord, that we have mentioned that are in need of a touch from you. Lord, I ask you I lift myself up to you. I lift my family up to you, Lord. We are in need. Lord, we stand before you, a people in need. So we pray your blessings on our time together. And we thank you once again in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.